Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to break with tradition for the second time in a row and talk about something topical this week. A bit like the penalty shootout victory in Lille last week was the only show in town. I think this week the only show in town, certainly so far this week, has got to be Unai Emery, our Lord, our Master, our Saviour, our Hero, just committing his future to Aston Villa for another couple of years. I think it's like birthdays and Christmases and everything all rolled into one, knowing that Unai's with us a little bit longer. the pessimist that I am, I'm already thinking, oh no, what happens in 2027? I've already started dreading that, but the main man's got lots of unfinished business before then, not least putting a cherry on top of what's probably, you know, certainly the greatest season for a generation, hasn't it, so far. So let's hope he can finish the job and build on from there. I'm still a bit disappointed that my song hasn't caught on. I think we introduced it, didn't we, in A Clam and Blue earlier in the season. I still think there's a bit of an Unai Emery theme around the Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners. So I'll give you another little burst of it now, because I don't think I sang last week, did I? So I'll give you another little burst. Just to remind you. So it was like, Unai, 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 hey. Come on, Unai. Do, 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 do.
Excuse me. Editor's note here. But that's all wrong, isn't it? Come on, you've missed an absolute trick there. Allow me. Unai, Unai, Unai. Emery. Come on, Emery fits so much better. Come on, Matt, get with it.
Just on the subject of Unai Emery, it got me thinking about, you know, he's only been with us, what, 18 months, and what a kind of honeymoon period it's been. But it got me thinking, we'll remember that infamous night at Fulham when it was the final nail in Steven Gerrard's Claret Blue coffin. But I just wanted to have a little look back at who the contenders were to take over from Emery back then. It makes pretty grim reading, you know. Just looking, at the outstanding favourite back then was Maurizio Pochettino, who was the 7-4 favourite. Listen, we're going to be facing Pochettino this weekend, so I don't want to jinx it too much, because getting those 3 points against Chelsea would take us a long way to securing that top four place and staving off a late threat from Spurs. But Pochettino, you know, I suppose we can't judge him on his latest body of work. He's got a pretty impressive back catalogue himself, but there's no way he or anybody else, in my opinion, could have done the kind of job that Unai's done, especially with Chelsea's heavy defeat at Arsenal fresh in my mind. I think Unai again has shown how you do a number on Arsenal twice this season. But yeah, so Pochettino was the leading candidate, followed by Michael Beale. Remember when Michael Beale's star was in the ascendancy and everybody thought he was the next best thing, and he went to QPR, did half decent, and then he went to turned down the job at Wolves, and everybody was portraying him as the, you know, the kind of the ultimate kind of example of loyalty. And then obviously went to Rangers and it went wrong there. And he went to last seen leaving Sunderland under a dark cloud, I believe. So, yeah, he was next. Then also in the running was Sean Dyche. You know, imagine Sean Dyche. Fortunately, we didn't get the gravelly voice one rocking up near Gravelly Hill. But yeah, the list of contenders wasn't particularly great. Rafa, Nuno, Bielsa, Scott Parker, Wayne Rooney, whatever happened to him, Mourinho, Roy Keane. Thank goodness Nassef Sawiris took matters into his own hands and went to get us Unai Emery. And just got me flashbacks then of when Tony Jarre went to Rome in his Ford Mondeo and bought us Di Matteo. But we're a different club now. We're a different beast. And we've got a truly elite manager. I just think that the timing of it is really, really important. You know, we saw that speculation over the weekend that Bayern Munich were sounding him out or potentially got him high up on a list to go there. So I think the fact that Villa have acted swiftly, listen, I'm not sure that you offer a contract based on press speculation, but you certainly do offer a contract based on club transformation, which is what he's done at Villa. So I'm glad that before any other clubs or rival fan bases could try and get their grubby hands on our man, I'm glad that that's settled and gives us, and as a fan base, as a club and the dressing room, gives us a little bit of security or a lot of security and certainty ahead of what's going to be a really pivotal couple of weeks or a month or so for Aston Villa Football Club. In terms of Emery, obviously what he's done on the field to revitalise the fortunes of this great football club, you know, we all witness it, we all live it, we all relish it from week to week. I think there's more to it than that. I think he's become a really important figurehead. We know that he's got so much influence over the way the football club's run, but I think as an ambassador for Aston Villa, I think he's spot on as well. Probably lacks the swagger of a Big Ron or a John Gregory or even a Martin O'Neill at times. You know, each of those three like to carry themselves with a certain degree of arrogance. Probably reminds me more of the understated humility of Brian Little in terms of the way he conducts himself, lets his football team do the talking, I suppose, if that's not too much of a cliche.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I think at Arsenal, it was probably his politeness was probably used to mock him, you know, with the way that the kind of good evening, I won't say it, but the, you know, the way that his pronunciation of good evening was mocked. When actually, I find it an endearing quality now, the way that he greets the press and greets interviewers with a good afternoon or a good evening. Just basic manners, isn't it? And who better to have as an example than Unai Emery when it comes to that? I'm as you can tell, like a lot of Villa fans, I've become a little bit obsessed with our coach lately, to the extent of googling some photos of him from his. Listen, I'm not going to just. You don't need to get an injunction out against me. I'm not going to become a stalker, but just googling some of the photos from his playing days, and this one. If you Google Unai Emery, young player at Toledo, one of the clubs he used to play for. I swear, I might have mentioned this before, but if the same Google image comes up that I find, it reminds me, he's got a really kind of brooding look, like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. And I think it's this kind of look about him that intrigues me as well. Obviously, he's got the man from the Mediterranean, has Mediterranean look. He's hardly headline news. But I just love that he's got this appearance. And we've seen him, haven't we, do the serial killer chin rub when he's really infuriated about something. But he still won't let himself down by the kind of, you know, we've seen it, haven't we, from Klopp, from Guardiola, Arteta, moaning about decisions going against them, moaning about the fixture backlog, moaning about the lack of rest time. You don't get that from Unai Emery. And me and Dan have spoken a lot about him recently and about this no-excuse culture. Now, Steven Gerrard used to talk about no-excuse culture and then peddle several excuses. Unai Emery doesn't really talk about a no-excuse culture. He just lives it and breathes it. But yeah, I find it weird. Like, he's got this look of a young De Niro about him, got the serial killer chin rub. He's got black hair that Dracula would be proud of. But he's still the nicest bloke in the world. You imagine he could step from the set of Goodfellas to go and open a church fete. Such is his charm and brilliance. I wrote in a preview, 442 magazine asked me to do a preview of Aston Villa's season back in last summer, which seems a long time ago now. But I wrote this, and I think it still stands true. A banner in the Holt End proudly proclaims the Sultan of Unai. See what they did there? Just like the target of its affection, Unai Emery, the flag is prominent yet understated. Put simply, Emery has instantly transformed this club with his searing tactical brain. A meme at Arsenal, a dream at Villa Park. It really is a dream that we've got this guy heading up our revolution, I suppose, because that's what it's been and that's what it's continued to be. The fact that he sees enough in the project at Aston Villa in terms of the potential, in terms of the backing from fantastic owners to commit himself when his stock is pretty high at the moment. I think he came to Aston Villa with unfinished business, given the way that he was treated at Arsenal and given the way that that all panned out. And I think he's really delivered and he is continuing to deliver. Maybe it's a bit soon. I've seen people saying build the statue, name the stand after him. Maybe that is a bit premature, but I think the fact that we're already talking about him being with us for another 2 or 3 years, I've seen people saying that he potentially could become our Ferguson or our Wenger, which would be ironic given the way that he he followed Wenger at Arsenal. It's lovely, isn't it? You know, I think we are in danger of getting carried away and too excited, but why shouldn't we? It's been a long time to get to this point, not just since the last time we were challenging around the top of the table under Martin O'Neill. I don't think I've seen football and the control over games that Unai Emery is able to exert and get his team to exert. I don't think I've seen it in my lifetime. I think that's it, to be honest. I don't think I've left you in any doubt of what I think of this guy, and I think there'd be 40,000 Aston Villa fans, like-minded Aston Villa fans, who would celebrate that inside Villa Park, and hundreds of thousands, millions around the world who would also thank our lucky stars, the fact that we've got this guy and he's been able to have such an impact on our football club. I suppose I better finish by doing a crap dad joke. I'm going to finish off with an absolute classic for you, so I expect to hear the groans from wherever you're listening to this. Where did Napoleon keep his armies? Up his sleeves. You having that? You having that, voice noters? Well, until next week, up the Villa. Take care. Ta-ra.